Hello and welcome to our Bible study today. We're going to be in the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah. He is called the Weeping Prophet. He preached during a very critical time in the nation of Judah, primarily around Jerusalem. The people that at that time and previous to that had given themselves over to idols. And of course, that wasn't pleasing to God. And when we get to the time of Jeremiah, this great prophet, the time for Judah to continue to exist as a nation was about over with. And God was telling them through Jeremiah that destruction is coming. You need to amend your ways because destruction is coming. Notice in Jeremiah 6 and verse number 1, "You children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem and blow the trumpet in Tekoa and set up a sign of fire in Beth Harakim. For evil appeareth out of the north and great destruction." Judgment was coming, and God was warning them by way of Jeremiah and other prophets, "You need to repent because you're about to be destroyed. Your hour is about to come." Now, later in Jeremiah 6, the people refused to listen to that kind of message. Notice in verse number 9 of Jeremiah 6, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thy hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it." And so God was warning them, but the people would not listen. Jeremiah 6 and 11, "Therefore, I am full of fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband and the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest, even every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely." That's what God was warning them through Jeremiah. "You're wicked, you're evil, you're corrupt, you're covetous. You're going to lose your houses. You're going to lose your wives. Everything's going to be taken from you." But there were false prophets competing with Jeremiah and speaking a different message. Notice Jeremiah 6 and verse 14. "They," that's these other messengers, "have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace." And Jeremiah said, "When there is no peace." These other prophets were saying, "Jeremiah's wrong. We're going to have peace. There's not going to be war. Nothing bad's going to happen." And that wasn't true. Verse 15, "Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord." They're not listening. They're not ashamed of their wickedness. And I'm going to give them their wages. The wages of sin is death. Jeremiah 6 and 16, "Thus saith the Lord, stand you in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls." But they said, "We will not walk therein." They were being called back to the word of God, to the old ways. And they said, "No, we are not coming back." Verse 17, "Also I will set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet." But they said, we will not hearken. The trumpet of warning. God was sounding out a clear warning to this nation, and yet they were so stubborn and so hardened by sin, they refused to listen. And they would fall, of course, by the power of Babylon that God brought to punish them. But now let's go to Jeremiah 7. And this was a part of their reasoning of why they didn't have anything to worry about. And here it is in Jeremiah 7. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, Hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place." You just need to repent. You need to amend your ways. Come back to the old paths, and I'll let you dwell here. He says, "Trust you not in lying words," and that's what they were doing. They were trusting in lies. And here's the lying words, saying, "The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these." And they thought, God's not going to destroy this city. We've got the temple of the Lord. And it was like it was repeated, "The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord." Those were lying words. They thought they had the temple of the Lord. Nothing bad was going to happen to Jerusalem. Verse 5 of Jeremiah 7 says, "For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then you can't just have the temple of the Lord. You've got to change your life. Then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house," he's talking about the temple, "which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. We're fine." And so the book of Jeremiah is a great message about the sin of Judah and about God's punishment. And what we see very clearly here is that God's not going to let the sinner get away without punishment. God does not reward rebellion. These people had developed a lie and were trusting in it. They were saying that God's temple is here. We're safe. We can live as we desire. We can do whatever we want to because God's temple is here. You know, man wants to be free to do as he pleases, doesn't he? God has shown over and over that doesn't work. You can't do as you please. That doesn't satisfy God. It doesn't placate God. You have the temple, but you got to live according to the God's will. You can't just have the temple. And so in verse number 12 of Jeremiah 7, he says, "But go ye now unto my place, which is in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel." He said, go back to Shiloh. You may remember Shiloh. That's where God's tabernacle sat for many years until the temple was built in Jerusalem. The old tabernacle that Moses had constructed, it was set up at Shiloh. And inside that tabernacle, there was the Ark of the Covenant. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, Israel got into a war with the Philistines. And on the first day of that battle, the Israelites lost. 4,000 men were killed. And so they went back and the battle was over. They lost 4,000 people. And they said, let's go get the Ark of the Covenant out of Shiloh. Let's go get the Ark of the Covenant and take it into battle with us. If we've got that with us, we're bound to win. And so the second day, they went into the battle with the Philistines. And this time, they lost 30,000 soldiers. And the Ark was captured, and the Philistines had it for a number of years. The Ark did not help them. They lost the battle anyway. They thought the Ark was going to bring them good fortune in the battle, but it didn't help them. And why God is bringing this up is because Judah was saying the temple of the Lord. We have the temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord is going to save us. We can do whatever we want to. But it did not bring them good fortune. And God's trying to teach them that doesn't work. You may have the Ark of the Covenant, but if you're not living right, you're going to lose the battle. Now, the Babylonian army was going to come now and destroy Jerusalem. They were going to lose the battle, but they were trusting in a false belief. The Bible says they were trusting in a lie. That was a lie. They thought they could worship idols. They could murder, commit adultery, be a covetous person, oppress the stranger and the fatherless and the widow, that they could shed innocent blood, and that everything was going to be all right. We get to do what we want to do. We've got the temple of the Lord. And God says, that's not going to work. And he says, you've got to amend your ways. It didn't work in Shiloh. They still paid for their sins. Notice Jeremiah 7 and verse 13. And now, because you have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but you heard not. And I called you, but you answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house which is called by my name, wherein you trust, you're trusting in this house, and unto this place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh, I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Israel, the 10 tribes just to the north, they had all been conquered by Assyria. And so in verse 16 of Jeremiah 7, it says, therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. And so it's not going to work. If you don't repent, you're going to be destroyed. You're going to lose your houses. You're going to lose your lands. You're going to lose your wives. You're going to lose everything. Don't believe that lie that we have the temple of the Lord and everything's going to be fine. Now, you know, you and I, we've got to be careful as well. We've got to be careful not to trust in lies. Sometimes we think, well, I'm a member of the Church of Christ. I have obeyed the gospel. Therefore, I'm going to heaven. I have heard, I have believed, I have confessed Christ before others. I have repented of my sins. I have been baptized for the remission of my sins. Now I have nothing to fear. I can just go to heaven because I'm a member of the Church of Christ. Well, you need to read your Bible a little bit closer, because just because you're a member of the Church of Christ does not mean you're necessarily going to be saved. In the book of Revelation, in chapters 2 and 3, we have seven churches, the seven churches of Asia. Five of those seven churches was told to repent. And I want to read about the last one, called the Laodiceans. Don't trust in a lie that you say, well, I'm a member of the Church of Christ. I'm definitely going to heaven. I don't have to worry about a thing. Well, listen to this. Revelation 3 and verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, the faithful and true witness, beginning of the creation of God, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You're making me sick. I don't want you any longer. I'll vomit you out of my mouth. They had a skewed view of themselves. Notice Revelation 3 and 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. That's like the people in Judah. We've got the temple of the Lord. We don't have to worry about anything. Jeremiah is sounding an alarm. He's giving them a warning, and they would not listen. They thought they were fine. The Laodiceans thought they were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing. But God said, knowest thou not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. They were not rich, they were poor. They were not able to see, they were blind. They were not clothed, they were naked. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Repent. And so we cannot trust in a lie and think, I'm a member of the Church of Christ. I have heard the gospel. I have believed the gospel. I have confessed Christ before others. I have repented of my sins. I have been baptized. And now I can just live as I want to, and I will just go to heaven in the end. You know you're not. You've got to study your Bible, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God. You've got to attend the worship assemblies of the saints, Hebrews 10 and 25. You've got to take part in the worship. You can't just live as you want to. You've got to come to the services of the Lord's church. You've got to give on the first day of the week, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Someone may say, well, my spouse is a very faithful Christian. They read the Bible, they pray, they study. I can just get a spiritual credit from them, from God, through my faithful spouse. I'll go to heaven because my spouse is righteous. My spouse does everything right. Or we might say my parents. I'll go to heaven because my parents are so good. No, the Bible says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the things that we have done in this body, whether they are good or bad, according to what we have done. The family's not going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The individual is going to stand. And so this same kind of thinking still exists as it existed in Jeremiah's day. It is a lie. It is not true. Just because you're a member of the Church of Christ doesn't mean you're automatically going to heaven. The people of Jeremiah's day thought, we're not going to be destroyed. We have the temple of the Lord. And yet, look at their lives. Their lives were horrible. Their lives was full of sin. But they thought we were fine. Jeremiah saying Babylon's going to come and destroy us. A force from the north will come down and take away our houses and our lands. No, that won't happen. It was a lie. Because it did happen. They did lose their houses. They did lose their lands, and thousands upon thousands of them lost their very lives. So let's believe the truth. Let's believe that we must fully comply to God's word in order to be pleasing unto Him. Let's realize that we must amend our ways. And then God's blessings will prevail upon us. Notice in our passage of Jeremiah chapter 7 that we read in down in verse number 6, it says this, if you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt. Then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave your fathers forever and ever. And so they had to comply. They had to amend their ways. They had to meet the conditions that God was laying out for them. Then God's blessings would come upon them. They were not going to be blessed without turning to God. Jeremiah 7 and verse 23, it says, but this thing command I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk you in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. That's how you get the blessings. That's how you come to please God. But notice verse 24, but they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imaginations of their evil hearts, and went backward and not forward. They were backsliders, weren't they? They went back and not forward. And what a great lesson it is for us. Let's all give diligence to be saved. Let's not just talk about being a Christian. Let's really live the way Christians are supposed to live. Let's read our Bibles every day. Let's pray every day. Let's seek God every day. Let's try to walk close to Him every day. Let's obey the Bible every day. Not only read the Bible, but let's obey it every day. You know, there's a passage over here in 1 Peter chapter 4. I'd like to read it with you as we bring these thoughts to a close today. 1 Peter 4, beginning with verse 17. It says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Listen to this. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? If the righteous scarcely be saved, if they're barely saved, if they're narrowly saved. So it's going to take some effort on our part in order to be saved. Thank you for tuning in today. Thank you for listening to our study from Jeremiah 7, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord are these. People thought that they could just say, we've got the temple, we're fine, God won't destroy us. But that wasn't true. Just because you wear the name of Christ doesn't mean that you can live just any way you want to. Thank you for tuning in. God bless you as you continue to study the Word of God. Continue to pray. Live that Christian life Serve the Lord every day. And in the end, you'll be glad you did. Until next time, may God bless.